Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas. I'm Stephen Legg.
And I'm Bobby Norris. How are you, babes?
I'm doing just fine. I'm back in my little coffin room again this week, recording for your audio pleasure. You've got the headboard behind you still.
Got the headboard. So was I telling you I'd had a situation when I got back from Turkey?
Yeah.
With boiler.
Yeah.
But I finally got that sorted. So back home tomorrow.
Lovely.
Which is good. I mean, just you couldn't get worse timing, could you? When the weather's been how it is, it couldn't have gone during the heat wave.
Well, to be fair, you wouldn't have known probably.
This is the thing. But so that's all sorted, so that's good. Finally.
Good it's, news.
All good, good, good.
I've been having the exact opposite. In my building, the lifts have stopped working, the water's been on and off, people haven't been able to get hot water for like days in some parts of my like sort of area that I live, the little development that I live on. The bin store door has been broken. I mean, it is like nightmarish levels of like incompetence, basically all happening at once, all during the cold weather. Luckily I still have heating because I would be dying. I've got hot water. It hasn't affected me. But now I've started, because I came back one evening from work and there wasn't. So now I kind of every morning before I, like when I'm in the office, I have like a little like must fill up some bottles with water for the fridge just in case something happens.
Just because, in case.
Because I had to do a whole, because when it happened before, it was like overnight. So I got in, it was like 6 p.m. No, probably a bit later than that. And the water was off. And I was like, oh, well, what am I supposed to do? Got an email saying it'll be back up and running by the morning. Guess what? It wasn't. So I had to, with a 2-litre bottle of water, I managed to wash my entire body.
Oh, bless you.
It was like wartime or something, because I was like, I can't go to work without having a shower. That's just not... I like to be nice and clean. Do you know what I mean?
Starts the day, doesn't it?
Once I can't get up. I mean, suffered. Like, unless I'm like at a festival or something and it's literally not an option, like I have to have a shower every day or I just can't. Yeah, I can't wake up properly. Yeah.
No, it's part of the routine, isn't it? I'm the same.
Yeah. So it's been a bit of a nightmarish time, but at least your heating sorted.
Yeah, finally. But like, I mean, I'm no electrician, but I just don't even sort of realise when the heat, so all the heating has gone, obviously because it was the boiler, which obviously is where you get hot water from. So was
well observed, Bob. Well observed.
Yeah, didn't know these things. that's why I'm kind of, I mean, it could only happen when you've left the country. Typical, you come back and then this has happened in the cold weather. And there's something always, I mean, any time of year, it's not going to be great. But when it's cold, it's worse. And also just in January, when things happen in January, just a bit like, oh, what a start. But thankfully I was able to stay at mum and dad's, because no hot water, no heating is not the one. I mean, so I'm
really fortunate
that I could stay here and I got the bed here. But... because once cold's in you, I don't know if this is just feel like an old man saying this, but do you ever feel like your bones get cold?
Oh, you do sound like an old man there, Bob. I'm going to give you that.
And I was sat there waiting for a plumber to come out on the sofa. And when I say my apartment was like an ice box, feel like I was in an igloo. And I must have sat on the sofa for about 2 hours now. I had smoke coming out of my mouth. It was like Jack and Rose on the Titanic. That's how cold it was. I had my jacket on and I thought, gosh, I just can't deal with it. And I'm normally quite a hot person.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I wasn't, not in this weather, not in the -6, I wasn't hot.
Nah, certainly not. But like you often say, Bob, we move.
And, exactly, Brad.
And you'll be back in your flat. And I'm just going to hope that, and this is a little tip for you, if you live in a service building like I do, like I pay a service charge and blah, blah, but your bin store is difficult to get to if you haven't got lifts, don't leave your rubbish in the hallway for everyone else to have to smell and deal with, because isn't that awful? Isn't that genuinely awful? Yeah. So yeah, there's been loads of that. So yeah, it's been like, kind of like you said, you always think like January, it's like, it's hard enough. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, especially at the moment, I'm not drinking. So I haven't even got like a crux to sort of,
you can't warm yourself up with a vodka.
No, exactly. So yeah, this would be, last weekend will be my third weekend, no drink. Well, fine, absolutely fine. I did 55,000 steps over 2 days. I think that's quite impressive, isn't it?
Yeah. That's really good, babe.
Yeah.
Where have you gone? That's like marathon, isn't it?
I suppose it is if I measured it in kilometres. But my sister was in town on the Saturday. So we walked all around South London. We were like Battersea all over.
Lovely and man there.
Really nice. Really
development.
Yeah, the new Battersea development's lovely. And then on the Sunday, I was like, I'm going to do all the vintage shops in East London. So I basically traipsed from Shoreditch up to Stoke Newington to Angel, and then to Old Street, Liverpool Street. Do you know how many items of clothing I bought?
M&A.
Zero.
No.
Not one.
Was nothing caught your eye?
No, I'm usually like a pretty good vintage shop shopper, and I got absolutely bugger all. So... yeah, that was a bit disappointing, but, you know, there you go. But I did get my steps in.
It's that kind of thing, isn't it? Where some days you could go in and I guess you want everything, but it's five or six things, and then some days just nothing. It's weird how that happens.
Yeah, so I treated myself to a Donut Time donut, which was lovely.
Right.
You know, the real, like, they're probably about 700 calories per donut, but...
they're worth it.
I'm not drinking, so I feel like I'm allowed.
Exactly, babes.
I feel like I'm, apart from all the rubbish going on in my building, literally rubbish, other people's rubbish, feel like everything's going all right, which is unusually positive for me.
A post it or something, you don't have to say it's from you, or almost put something up and just say, look, how about we don't leave rubbish in the communal way? Because you can't have that smell.
I did that. I actually wrote it in my flat, got down to where people had been leaving it. Someone else had already put a note up. So now there's two notes telling people not to do it. I said something about thinking about your neighbours or something.
Which is right, and it's common sense, isn't it? Why would you just leave? Oh, God, they're the fault with festering and the smell. And there's no worse smell than like that.
Bin.
You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. And if there's no air circulating, that kind of takes time to, oh, gosh.
Yeah, unpleasant. If you live in communal spaces, you've got to be more considerate, I think.
Yeah, you've got to think about your neighbours. Well, hopefully everything gets sorted soon, both rubbish and also your neighbours that have got no hot water, bless them.
Yeah, true. I mean, I'd be more stressed if not only did I have the smell of bins, but I also couldn't wash myself. I mean, I might be the cause of the smell in that case. So luckily that is not the case.
What do they reckon the fault is?
Something to do with electricity supply.
It's not an easy thing.
No, and they keep calling engineers and nothing happens, and then they're trying to pass it on to someone else and blah 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 blah. So it's proving to be a complicated issue.
Yes, I've got an
email telling me to stop feeding birds, and I don't even feed birds, so there's just a lot going on. There's a lot going on at the moment in East London, but like, you know, we'll be fine with it. How are you? You doing all right though? Everything good? Day back from Turkey?
Yeah, all good my end, thank you, babe. Yeah, really good. I can't believe how close this month has just flown by.
Really has, hasn't it? That never happens in January.
Never. It's always the longest month of the year. Yeah. And I feel like, we've got about a week left and then it's February.
Yeah, 100%. So, I'm pretty pleased for that though. I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, I am. And like we said last week, definitely starting to notice it's a little bit like, if we could just sort the weather out slightly, though I don't like to moan, I'm certainly grateful we didn't get any snow. People were telling me there might have potentially been snow at the weekend. And I was thinking, oh no, not again, I can't.
Not
just snowed out.
All done with the snow. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. So, but roll on February. I thought the new year started in February for me this year.
It is? Why?
Well, I think... That's because January's like the trees down there thinking, as I've said, I do love a new year. I think it's fresh starts and it's positive and it's all that kind of thing. And now I've just got everything sorted. I had to sort the motor out. Oh, that was another thing that had gone on. I had to take the motor in, got the plumber thing sorted now, got the boiler sorted. So I've got hot water and heating, which I'm very grateful
Congrats.
For, which is lovely.
Really the minimum we should be after, but yeah, I agree.
I mean, exactly, but still giving the gratitude. I think, that was just a little glitch in the armour, just having to sort the car and the boiler and all these odds and sods. But that's adulting, isn't it? That's the thing. Makes you realise how much easier it was when you was a kid.
Oh, babe, don't even get me started. I can't even... Not having to pay bills. What a treat, eh? Not having to pay your council tax.
Just getting your bit of pocket money and going to buy a pick and mix and penny sweets when sweets were actually a penny.
Oh, Bob, now you really do sound like an old man.
And Fredo's were 10p and not about 30 quid.
Yeah, what with inflation? Yeah, then you'd have to get a banknote out for a Fredo in the future. Well, we have an exciting show coming up today, a bit of a reality show special. We've got Courtney Veal from Below Deck, sort of everyone's favourite Seabound reality show, I guess you could say. And then we've got Tom Horton on from The Circle, which is one of those really strange reality shows where you're, despite it having lots of people on it, you don't actually physically meet any of them, do you? So be very interesting to talk to him about that. What showbiz news has been catching your eye this week, Bob?
Well, I've got to start with, there's no Kardashian news this week. I mean, there probably is, but just nothing that I'm bringing to the table, to be honest. We're giving him a wake up. But, I mean, just a stone throw up the road from Kim, BFF Paris Hilton just announced a baby boy.
Oh, yeah, very sweet that her and her husband had through a surrogate, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right. So I think lovely Instagram post of him holding his little hand. And I just think it's so lovely to see her married now. She's got a little baby. I don't think she's released a name or anything yet, but that's her prerogative, isn't it?
Sure, she will.
Nice bit of good news. Oh, yeah, I'm sure she will. Saving it for a show, probably.
Yeah, true. There's actually been quite a few baby announcements this week, in addition to Paris, Mrs. Harris. There's also been Princess Eugenie. She's announced she's pregnant with a second baby.
And Gemma,
and Gemma Atkinson, former Strictly star, and her partner Gorka, they're expecting their second baby as well. So, baby boom just ahead of Valentine's Day. Actually, expecting now, or probably in the summer, right? Because you'd say about 3 months, and then, be a summer baby, I guess.
Yeah, a lot of summer babies. I was a summer baby.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of busy people, like I say. a lot of
indeed. Indeed, yeah.
Always a nice bit of news, though.
Yeah, congrats to them. It's nice.
It's her first, isn't it? So it's just nice and special, and it's like she's got a little fairy tale.
Yeah, because I think she said for a while that she's wanted to have a baby, hasn't she, Paris? Mm, so,
yeah.
And I know a lot of her sort of contemporaries and people that were around that were massive, like when she was massive, I guess sort of 10, 15 years ago, they've all sort of had kids now, haven't they? I'm pleased for her, but it'll be nice, interesting to see her as a mother, I think. Not going to want for anything that baby, is it?
No, I think they're going to be all right, and hotel stays for life on the house.
Can you imagine?
I would rinse that family gold card if I was a Hilton.
Yes,
where's our nearest Hilton?
Yeah, what I think I'd just go if I was bored, you know what I mean? If I could just go and stay at any Hilton hotel any time, I'd just be like, I don't want to stay at home tonight. I'm going to go to Hilton in Notting Hill or something,
do the rounds of
The Hilton South End or whatever.
Get the best of it. See, I love staying in a hotel.
Mm.
I mean, I'm fortunate enough with work and things, like travel and get to stay in a lot. And some people would rather head home. And I know there's nothing like your own bed. But for me, there is something really lovely about a hotel.
I agree with you.
Hotel bed, do you know? Predominantly because I just love how a hotel, like the fresh bedding, how a hotel, apart from when they tuck that thing in at the end, that kind of bugs me when I try and put my feet in. I've got to put it all there.
Yeah, that's true.
But you can't play crisp hotel sheets, lovely pillows, putting on a dressing gown, bit of room service, lovely.
And then a bit of, I always find I watch, if I'm abroad as well, I always end up watching like just foreign news channels and just being like, I don't know, like so weird.
So true.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that anywhere else. I'm like, when I was in Toronto, I was like watching local Toronto news. I don't know any of these people. I don't know what they're talking about, but I really feel like I'm like really living the like Canadian vibe. But yeah, anyway, we've gone a bit off topic here, haven't we? I'll tell you what's caught my eye, because I think we were talking about Madonna last week, weren't we? About her tickets and how expensive they were, and how I wasn't going to be going. Well, in some bad news, I think, for Madonna, the biopic about her life, which she was going to direct, seems to have been quietly dropped.
Do we know why?
No, it just seems to have been dropped from sort of schedules. Now, I was always a little bit not concerned, because it's not keeping me up at night. But like, I did wonder, she was going to direct it, right? Now, rare is the occasion that the star of the film and the thing about your life is also the director, because you feel like
a bit of conflict.
Well, you can't really have any distance from your own story. Do you know what I mean? Like, how I would tell my story would be very different to how someone with an outsider's perspective would tell my story. And absolutely, if you're going to get probably a better story, you wouldn't want to. You need light and shade. Do you know what I mean? No one's perfect all the time. Like, and if you're telling it from your own perspective, then you're going to be like, well, I was wronged in that situation.
Tinted filter, I know exactly what you mean, which I don't think they ain't going to make for the best watch.
No, exactly.
You know what I mean? Because you're not getting, you can only see something from your point of view. And actually, you need that third party stepping back and being removed from it to have their opinion on it.
Yeah, that's kind of what. So I don't know how much of a big sad tale it's going to be for cinema that the film's not going to be made. But, you know, I do love Madge, so I'm always keen on like sort of seeing what she's up to. So it is.
We're not shading you, Madge, if you're listening. There's no shade.
No shade, but maybe consider getting someone else in to direct it, and then maybe the studio will consider bringing it back. Say again.
I wonder if Guy Ritchie would do it.
He did direct her in a film, didn't he? It was called Swept Away. And it was about, like, I think, I might have this wrong. It was about, like, a celebrity washing up on a desert island. And it was starring Madonna. And it was not very well received.
I don't think I've even heard of it.
Yeah, I don't ever think I know it's a bit of like a gay cult classic, probably for that exact reason. It's Madonna on a desert island. you know, it does sound pretty camp and fun. But as for actually whether or not it's a decent film, the jury's out, I think. So yeah, although she's got this massive tour coming up, and obviously it'll be so 40th year in showbiz, since the success of her first big single, I think, which was Holiday. We're not going to get that biopic. So that's that.
Yeah, well, swings and roundabouts. We got the tour,
which neither of us have seen.
The biopic will come at a later date.
Yeah, maybe.
There's more to add to it by that point. Oh, no, you never know with Madge.
It's true. It's true. She'll always find something. So,
she'll certainly always find something. But do you know anyone that's got tickets for the concert, the O2?
I do. I know two friends who spent £160 each for nosebleed seats. Right in the gods, yeah. So high, you get a nosebleed is basically, I think, the idea behind the phrase. But they're looking forward to it. Good for them.
It'll be a great atmosphere.
Yeah, unless like when I saw her and she comes on, you know, hour and a half late and tells you that time's an illusion, in which case you kind of get people's backs up. But
yeah, that's the most funny. Time's an illusion.
What, yeah, for you.
yeah. I'm sure all the gays will be having a lovely time at the O2.
Well, speaking of, though, there's been a little bit of controversy. I don't know if you've seen about Beyonce.
Yes, I saw briefly. Tell me more. She's performed in Dubai, hasn't she?
Yeah, so I don't think, I mean, people go on holiday to Dubai, they're welcome to do it as they wish, as is Beyonce. But she's come under some criticism. So it's her first gig in 4 years. She's just, well, not just, I mean, it was last summer, I think, released an album that sort of she credits as being a celebration of LGBTQ plus people. Worked with lots of LGBTQ plus people in the production of it. But then chose her first gig in 4 years to be the opening of a hotel in Dubai. Now, I think for like the casual viewer, they will just be like, well, good for her. I'm sure she got paid a lot of money. And I think she probably did get paid a hell of a lot of money. But people are saying that maybe she shouldn't have gone to a country where being gay is illegal and punishable, which is interesting point. I'm a bit, lots and lots and lots of celebrities have performed in Dubai before. I think Kylie Minogue was there at New Year. She's obviously a massive gay icon. You know, Janet Jackson, I think, Diana Ross, loads and loads of people. Elton John, who's gay himself, you know, they've all performed there. Beyonce seems to have come under particular criticism. In a way that I haven't seen maybe for those other people. Don't know, what do you make of it?
Do you think that could be a timing thing just because we're seeing after the World Cup? Do you reckon where it's come so shortly after and where people were very vocal about everything at the time then?
In the Middle East, yeah.
Maybe it's the kind of tail mark for that, whereas before maybe it wasn't really. In respect to something, I don't think people necessarily kind of knew or got the situation before. But now it's been made so public and it's been spoken about so much, maybe that's why. But I'm sure she got a few quid for it. I mean, not that she needs it. I think she's doing all right. But
it looked amazing, though. Did you see pictures?
Yeah, she looks amazing all the time, doesn't she?
Yeah.
I think it comes down to, it's one of them things where I think it's personal choice. If you choose to, if you want to do it and you stand by it and you own it, some people would be willing to, some people wouldn't. It's a real tough one, and I don't know if it can be one rule for one. But like you say, yeah, I'm surprised actually in the amount of kind of backlash there's been. It's been quite a bit. Has she publicly commented on it?
No, I don't mean, she doesn't really publicly comment on anything, does she? I mean, she's one of those people that sort of, she's so famous, she doesn't need to do press. She's not anchoring for a sit-down chat with Oprah or coming on Access All Areas to talk with us. She just doesn't need to. So I can't imagine that she'll ever comment. I mean, I can't remember the last time she did an interview. It must have been years and years ago.
Gotta be. I'd love her to do Oprah. I still want to know what happened in the lift.
with her sister,
yeah,
that's true. I forgot about that, when Solange went for Jay-Z, didn't she?
Yeah, and was it TMZ? It kind of got the elevated footage from the CCTV.
Yeah, god, yes. That was such a big, and then there was footage of them afterwards, wasn't there, like Jay-Z walking out of the hotel and
like everything was all right. Like when
the lawn just like open. But she's like eyeing him, isn't she? She's like got his, but Beyonce did nothing, right, in that lift interaction. She just stood there. So everyone sort of came to the conclusion that something's gone down.
It's gone down, yeah. And she's not said or done anything. Yeah, but again, so they're the kind of things you'd love to know. But when you kind of get a star, as you say, of Beyonce's level, You ain't getting the tea on things.
Yeah.
You ain't getting the
I wonder if it was, especially with something like the Dubai situation, if it was even brought to our attention.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it? She might not actually have even been made aware. I mean, is she the sort that has, I don't know, she has Google alerts for Beyonce to see the backlash. I'm not sure if she does.
It'd be like, bing, 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 bing.
Yeah, I reckon that would become quite tiring after a few days.
Yeah, you wouldn't want that constant, the ding of the alerts would be doing your head in, wouldn't they? Yeah, interesting. I don't know. I'm intrigued to see how long it goes on for. I think people will forget pretty quickly once she announces a tour or whatever. But I think the criticism is fair, but I mean, it shouldn't necessarily just be aimed at Beyonce. There's plenty of other acts that have gone out and performed there, and they don't seem to come under the same criticism. So, yeah, difficult one.
Absolutely. Tell you what else caught my eye, Stephen. Now, I remember I went to watch this. I think this was the first theatre I went to in between lockdowns or when things started opening up again. It's the Ghost Story 222.
Oh, yes.
And when I saw it, the main character was being played by Lily Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Cheryl was just took over the role. Actually, I think Laura Whitmore did it after Lily.
She did,
and Cheryl was doing it. And got some amazing reviews for it. So maybe she's stepping into the world of acting. Well, not maybe, she is.
She has, yeah, she has.
Yeah, she's done it.
It's funny with Cheryl, isn't it? Because 4 or 5 years ago, you couldn't sort of swing a dick without knocking into a magazine with Cheryl on the cover, or you know, someone talking about a career or a baby or a relationship with Liam, or it was kind of everywhere, right? So, but since then, since she's become a mother to Bear, she's kind of gone a bit off the radar. This is kind of her first big job in years, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think since the baby, it's almost like she's just stepped back a little bit.
Mm.
Yeah, it's. I'm trying to think of what the. And maybe that's just the time. I mean, her first child as well, so probably wanted to spend as much time with the baby as possible, which is completely fair. Again, got a couple of quid in the bank, I imagine. She's doing all right. So fortunate enough to not have to jump from gig to gig, and that she's doing all right. But I'm glad that she's got good reviews for it. And maybe, do you think this will be the field we see her take now? Will she become an actress?
Well, theatre work is really tough, right? I mean, like, you're doing 6, 7, 8 shows a week sometimes. Sometimes 2 shows in a day. I wonder if it'll be interesting to see if she keeps that up. I wouldn't be surprised if she did more acting. I wonder if theatre work might be a bit intense for someone with a young child. Not that she can't afford childcare, obviously. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I always really liked Cheryl. I thought she was like fun to watch on TV and stuff. But maybe you could see her with like a role in Corrie or something. I don't know.
I'd like to go and see her. And even though I've seen the show, I'd love to go. I love a bit of Cheryl. I'd like to go and see her. And I think she'll be very well. Obviously, from a little girl, dance. So she's like triple threat now. Sing, dance, act. So I kind of think performing is in her blood. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
So, yeah, watch this space, I guess. But, yeah, so pleased for her that I think as well as someone like Cheryl changing career or going into a different field of the industry, there's always that, there's that room for someone to have a pop. Do you know what I mean? And to kind to want to bring you down and slate you and that. So I'm glad that the reaction's been good, because there are haters out there. So I'm glad for her that it's been good.
Yeah, and she really did used to come under a lot of flack, didn't she? Like, she was constantly under attack for everything she did. Remember when she did the American X Factor and everyone went nuts for that purple and orange outfit that she wore, and everyone was and she was like, it's just a pair of trousers, do you know what I mean? Like, chill out.
I forgot she'd done the American one, wasn't there an issue with her accent or something.
Something like that. She was basically on the cusp of being a really big name at that point, wasn't she? And I think they probably thought that they could push her to do the same in America. But in the end, Nicole Scherzinger took over, right? But she was the presenter in the first few episodes. So it was like, bye, Cheryl. We're getting the presenter in now to be a judge. Yeah. The whole thing is just so, like, bizarre. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's interesting, and I'm pleased for her that if she enjoys doing this, I can't see why she wouldn't do more of it. Just it is a lot of hard work, and I think she'll, well, I don't, as far as I know, she hasn't done theatre before, so it's been the first time she's doing it. I wonder how she'll feel come the end of it, really.
I'm not sure about the stint is, how long the stint is that people do before it change over. As I say, I saw it as Lily. Then I know Laura Whitmore did it. So maybe it's a...
Is it scary?
You know, when they say ghost story, it's not scary in terms of, how would you explain it? I think it's more of like a psychological, it's more of a, it's that kind of thing.
It's not jumpy, like it's not
A little bit of jumpy, but it's not like watching a horror movie.
Yeah, it's not like watching Hostel or something like that.
it's a really good concept. Obviously, I won't ruin it for anyone who hasn't seen it yet.
Okay.
It's definitely something that I'd like to see again, like I say, especially now Cheryl's doing it. But once you know, because it's kind of, I won't say it actually, it could be a bit of a spoiler, but once you've seen it once, I think
it might ruin it for them.
Those things very differently. But yes, you kind of might ruin it for yourself because you kind of know where it's going. But it's one of them things that probably the more you watch it, the more you clock because you know.
That's a fair point. Yeah. Interesting. Right. Well, that's our showbiz gossip for now. We've got our first guest, Courtney from Below Deck here. So let's get her, Below Deck Med. Let's get her in.
Let's do it. Hello, Colt. You're right.
Hi, I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Really good. Thank you. Thanks for joining us this evening. It's lovely to have you on the show.
Oh, no, I'm happy to be on it. Thanks for having me.
What's been going down? How are you doing?
Yeah, good. I feel like my 2023 only really started like last Monday. Before that, I was in some sort of weird hole, didn't know what I was doing with my life. And like, you know, when you're just stressed, I feel like the stress of it being a new year just got to me. But yeah, so since last Monday, it's been great. Fab.
Do you generally like the new year? Are you one of these people that gets January blues or are you quite positive about a new year?
Yeah, no, usually I'm really positive about a new year. Like, I love it. I'm like, yes, you know, like new challenges, new goals. But I think because I was still at home in Wales when, like, for the first week of Jan, and, you know, and like, I was obviously back in my mum's house. And, you know, when you're like thinking like, oh, God, what am I doing? And then obviously I've not been on the boats for a while. So I was just, yeah, had a wobble, but we're fine.
How does it feel returning to Below Deck for another season?
Yeah, obviously when I returned for season 7, it was amazing. Like, I joined a few episodes in, so it was a lot different to my first season because I was obviously joining a group that like already was super close and like knew each other and all got on. But yeah, I mean, it was amazing. Luckily I try and get on with most people, so it was fine.
But it is a reality TV show at the end of the day, isn't it?
Exactly. And there's a lot of people that are obviously like completely different when there's a camera there. So, and obviously the guests, you literally never know what kind of guest you're going to get on because there's cameras there as well. So yeah, it's a bit of a wild one. But no, I loved it. Like, I loved filming it, so... Yeah.
Did you have any doubt about going back for another season after you originally did it? When the call or the email come in, was you pretty much straight away, yeah, can't wait? Or was there a little bit of a...
I think, no, I was pretty certain that like I wanted to do it, especially because I was going back as like a deckhand rather than a stewardess. So I was like, the only kind of wobble I had was like scared that I was going to fuck up, basically. I knew that I kind of wanted to go back on there. I felt like I had like at least another season in me. Like, I still kind of would want to go back again. But they just like to change it up like every season with cast and stuff. So they're always trying to find new faces. And then you get the call like 2 days before, like, want to come back on? And you're like, fuck. And then you fly out to Europe. Yeah. Yeah, literally. So then you're flying out to the Med.
Can you tell us a little bit about, so for people that don't know, like, what is the difference between a stewardess and a deckhand? Like, day to day, what would your jobs be different doing? Because a lot of people might not know all the terminology, I think.
Yeah, no, of course. So stewardess, it's you're either in like housekeeping or service. So you're literally serving the guests 24/7, drinks, snacks. You basically have to stay up until the guests are asleep. And then if you're in housekeeping, then you're changing the beds, doing laundry, vacuuming. Whenever the guests aren't in a room, basically you're tidying it. So obviously it's super annoying when like they leave the room in the morning for breakfast and you've all got to run into the cabins to do them all. Then they come down after breakfast and all shower, so then you've got to go back in there because they leave again, and then they come in, like, it's just it's like a constant, you're constantly on the back foot,
like a battle.
You think, let's bloody clean that shower.
Literally, I hear it go on as I leave the room and I'm like, oh.
And so what's a deckhand?
So a deckhand is we basically do all like the water sports, get like the tender off the boat, get the jet skis in the water, basically anything. If the guests want to leave the boat, then we'll be driving them there on like the tender, which is like a smaller boat. Like beach setups, that's all on us, so we'll go there and basically scope out destinations that we can take out the guests. But I mean, obviously there's still a lot of like serving the guests involved in it. And you know, if the swell's bad or whatever, and we can't leave the dock, then you basically turn into a stewardess anyway if you're a deckhand, because you're just constantly helping them. I mean, there's definitely a bit of a difference, but I definitely preferred going back as a deckhand.
And true to life is it, babe? Like, obviously, when it comes to reality TV, some things can be played about with, should we say, for entertainment.
Yeah.
Is it very real to life? What you then see, obviously it goes through an edit and stuff, and then that becomes a different thing entirely. But the concept, when you sit and watch an episode, is that how you remember it all?
They definitely love to have a play around with the edits, and like they're very clever about what they do, as all like you'll know, and like with all producers and stuff. But like with the actual job and stuff is very similar to what yachting is. Like it's very much like my normal kind of job, day-to-day life, but it's like none of it's scripted. But I think the only difference is they'll come in and they'll be like, we missed that, can you please have that conversation again? But obviously if it's a guest shouting at you, or if it's you having an argument with someone, then you know it's not great, and we've got like work going on around it. But they definitely edit it in a way, like if they don't have a romance going on, then they'll kind of make one. Like with me and Z, it was just like a tequila romance, and I knew that like one night, and the next day I actually spoke to him and was like, look, I think we're just friends, like blah blah blah. But obviously they didn't use that bit, they used the bits when we're like dancing and flirting and whatever, and like whilst we're working. And then by the end of the season we were this whole romance, and they had told Z when he was drunk, like, don't suppose you want to buy Courtney flowers? And then he was like drunk, like, oh yeah, maybe. And then next minute, 2 days later, they're like, right, so when you sit down for your meal tonight, there's going to be flowers delivered to the table, 12 red roses for Courtney. He was like, what? So
how do you feel about that though, especially when you know it's happening, and then you watch the program afterwards? How do you feel about, do you feel a bit set up almost, or are you fine with it?
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty fine with it. Luckily, me and Z were like quite good friends, so it was fine. I think he probably felt a bit set up. But I mean, there is obviously some bits where they'll just cut off a conversation, and you obviously sound like you're saying something bad, or like
that's such a Kardashian's way of doing things, isn't it? It's like, and then you'll see the turn of the head, or like
yeah, literally. So I mean, it's like every other TV show, I guess, but they do try and keep it very like non-scripted, and they do try and keep it like quite similar to normal yachting. But I think the guests obviously make it a lot different as well, because the guests are kind of like, all the guests kind of have a bit of a discount to come on board, and they're just ready to like destroy us, basically. Usually like they want everything out of it, so they'll just go to a whole new level. Whereas in real yachting, a lot of these guests are kind of used to it, so they're not actually like monsters. So I'd say the guests have a big thing to do with it as well.
Do producers have a word with the guests, would you say? Like, do you reckon they go and tell them to mix yeah. things up.
Yeah, definitely. Like, if there's something, like, I'm pretty sure they must do, because there's been times where there's, like, definitely not hair in the food, and they'll be like, there's a hair in my food. And I'm like, it's your hair? Like, it literally is exactly the same. And they were like, no, we just found it. And I'm like, did you, though? And then that causes a drama for the rest of the night. So, like, I think producers are definitely a bit like, oh, like, have you been in your cabin? Like, it's still a bit messy. Or, like, you know, how, like, they definitely try and, like, yeah, definitely. Same with between the crew and stuff. Like, you'll be in a green screen. I remember one green screen, they were like, so do you remember kissing? On my season 6, I got, like, wasted, like, blackout drunk. They knew that I kind of was forgetting things. So then they, like, played on me, and they were like, do you remember kissing David last night? And I was like, what? And then I literally said, "What? I kissed David last night." And then that was in one of the adverts for the next episode. I was like, I didn't kiss him. And then they were like, "Yeah, no, we just wanted to see if you did." I was like, "Oh my god!" So yeah, there's definitely moments where you definitely know that you're on a TV show.
But despite all of that, are you thinking that you'll go back for another series, or like you said, you won't know till 2 days beforehand or whatever? But
yeah, I mean, I've told them that I'd always be up for going back with any of the franchise, because they've obviously got Med, they've got Sailing, like, they've got all of them now. So I've said, like, I'd love to go back to any of them, really. Like I said, I'll be a backup or whatever. But it's more just because, like, I do enjoy it, and I like, I've met all the captains and I like them and stuff. But I'm not, like, fighting for my chance to go back. Do you know what I mean? Like, if they want me back, I'll go, but. Also, because I'm not really in yachting, like, full time anymore, so it'd be kind of jumping in and out of it a bit, which is fine. But I think they like to try and at least keep it a bit organic with, like, people being yachting full time. So yeah, but definitely.
A lot of the crew when you're not filming.
Yeah, no, yeah, I'm still friends with quite a lot of them. There's definitely obviously certain people that you stay in contact with more, and a few people that you definitely don't. But like Z, like there's a girl called Nat on the last season, Dave, and then even a couple of people from season 6, which was like 3 years ago now, I'm still quite good friends with. So yeah, it's been nice.
You mentioned doing other work. What is it that you're doing?
So I filmed a TV show called The Challenge not so long ago. So it's the UK version one. So that comes out in Feb.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, definitely different to Below Deck. It was the hardest thing I think I've ever done. And with that, I kind of got told, like, quite close to the time. So I was not in the physical state I should have been for those kind of challenges. But it was amazing. And obviously it was like the UK reality TV style. So it was quite cool for me to kind of go into that, because I've never really done a show like that before. It was fun.
It seems to be pretty hardcore, that, isn't it? Very full on.
Yeah. Like I said yes to it, and then I only really watched episodes of it on the plane there, like the American one, and I was like, what the fuck have I done?
it got real quick.
Yeah, like the dread hit me, and then obviously when we met everyone, and like the night before, everyone's talking about all of the challenges that could be, and I was thinking, oh my god, like, I am not ready for this, like, prepared mentally or physically. But it was definitely like hardcore. Some of the stuff were all right. But yeah, just a lot of physical, like, yeah, it was a lot about fitness, but also about, like, you know, kind of like physical touch. I'm like, I'm not about that. It was amazing.
What challenges are they?
So imagine like Ninja Warriors / like, I'm a celeb / SAS Hugh Desmond, but not probably on SAS that level, but you definitely
you're not having a hood put on your head and in a darkened room for 24 hours.
I know, that's what we were all like thinking at one point, because everything got a bit sus in the house. But there was definitely a lot of like heights, a lot of like physical touch, a lot of like water things, and a lot of it was fitness, which is fine. But when you're doing it, like, we had challenges every other day. Oof. So you definitely start to feel the
a bit achy.
Yeah, just a little bit achy. But yeah, it was cool. We're all in like a villa together as well for the 2 weeks of filming, which again was a new experience for me. So,
and how was that? Was there any drama behind the scenes in the villa?
There was definitely some drama, some romances. Most of the drama stemmed from a bit of romance, but I had no romances in there, thank God. I think I definitely should stay away from that for a while. but yeah, no, there was a couple of romances, a couple bits of drama, but nothing too bad, to be fair. I think it was more towards the end when everyone was getting really like aggy. And obviously the whole point of the show is like, you've got to kind of like snake people to like, and make, you know, you've got to be a bit two-faced in there, which I just did not get the gist of. Like, I didn't get the memo. So, like, by the end, everyone had made...
Hi, everyone.
Like,
how are you?
Yeah, literally. Everyone had made all these, like, teams and, like, yeah, and, like, they're kind of people that they'll fall back on, because some of it was about voting and stuff as well. And, yeah, so... But, so, obviously, it was going to get a bit bitchy and stuff from that.
Naturally. Yeah, sounds great. Well, Courtney, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Yeah, no worries.
And best of luck. Looking forward to seeing the challenge.
Thank you. So nice to be on. Thank you so much.
Okay,
bye. Bye. See you soon. Bye.
Would you do it, Bob, the challenge?
See, I'll be honest, it's one of them shows. I know it's very big in America.
Yeah.
I've seen a few clips online, but I've never even seen a full episode. But I think sometimes shows like that, you're probably best not knowing if you're going to do it.
Good point. I know a guy I know who was on Shipwrecked did it and said the Americans were absolutely horrendous. Like, in levels of, like, competitiveness and snakiness, whereas the Brits were all a bit like, well, I don't know. So I think probably what she said is actually quite true. Americans are a bit more conniving, maybe.
Yeah, I've never been. I might give it a watch just in case.
Well, in case they come calling, yeah. Fair.
Yeah, just in case. Never say never, right?
Indeed, Bob. our second and final guest, Tom Horton from The Circle Series 5 is here, so let's get him. How you doing, Tom? All good?
I'm really good, thank you very much. Yeah, very happy. I'm very jet-lagged, if I'm being honest. I just got back from the Circle rap party in LA, which was very exciting.
Oh, I bet. How was that?
It was really good. It was really nice. I was only there for one night, so I just
all the way to LA for one night.
It sounds a lot more showbiz than it actually. Well, I was traveling coach, and I haven't slept, and I'm done. So don't. It's not actually a brag at all. But it was good.
How did you find the Circle?
It was an amazing experience, definitely, and it's been amazing for exposure and everything. It was odd being the only English person on it, because Americans have got very different senses of humour and very different way. They're all like, "Yas, Queen, spill the tea. I eat the crumbs. Play, bitch." Give me that kit. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck's going on, but I was this weird pacey guy with my English teeth and hairy triceps walking around. I don't know. It was all good.
But the thing is with The Circle, right, is it kind of, you don't actually ever meet them really, do you? So it's all a bit of a weird...
Yeah, no, it is really weird.
So then you're going to a rap party and you've probably only met these people like for a couple of hours or whatever.
Very, very briefly. And also I would say there was all the too hot to handle people were there. Because the casting directors of The Circle also cast for Too Hot to Handle. Because when they were getting me to do The Circle, I said, would you like me for Too Hot to Handle? And they were like, no, we want you as the one where you're a catfish and not yourself and isolated and don't meet anyone. I was like, okay.
by me.
Are you quite good in your own company? Because I guess a show like The Circle is, well, it's pure isolation, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I got bullied at boarding school for a couple of years, so I'm fully equipped to deal with isolation. I'm not going to lie. It is a bit of a mind fuck. 2 weeks of being recorded 24/7.
Yeah.
And also, I think being a comedian, I'm used to getting like I like validation with laughter. That's why I'm a comic, because you get it straight away. You go, oh, right, they've laughed at that. Whereas there's no audience there, so you're just saying these bits
and there's no idea how it's landing.
Like, oh, I think that was funny. I've got no idea. Yeah, yeah. So it's definitely nerve-wracking.
And do you have any indication of time? Is it like one of them shows where there's no clocks and no time? Because sometimes producers don't want you to know the time, do they?
It's exactly that. They take away your watch and they don't give you the time at all. In fact, the first question the welfare team ask you as soon as you exit is, what time do you think it is? And what day do you think it is? And apparently there's been contestants who are like out by literally days. I think I was out by about 4 hours.
Jeez. It must be weird because it's such a... an anchor in everyone's life, isn't it? Time is like such a...
Yeah, I don't know what the actual psychology behind it is. Maybe if you're in isolation, watching a clock is maybe... You clock watch, and that's more... True. I don't know. I'm not a psychologist, but I was just looking out the sun, looking out the sun through the window and trying to be proper Bear Grylls about it.
Fair.
So are we waiting for Maddie? Is that the...
No. Maddie's the producer, so she's silent. She's like a little silent.
She's a sly dog.
Disembodied voice.
Yeah, you won't hear from her. But so obviously, in addition, you mentioned being a comic. Like, are you going to get some new material from what you did on The Circle? Like,
yes, definitely. Now that it's released and I can talk about it, absolutely. I've, in fact, my next tour is it's about my journey onto The Circle, so it's bookended by saying I'm on The Circle. I don't go too into depth with it, but I'm it's a wealth of
you've just comedy. Got to hope that the audience have seen it, I guess. That's the only...
Yeah, that is... I think my audience is going to be a mixture of sort of middle-aged Telegraph readers and then 16-year-old...
Yeah, never.
Instagram wannabes.
Quite, because there's TikTok as well for you, isn't there? It basically was...
TikTok as well, yeah, exactly.
A big deal for you and the whole Tower of London.
Yeah, so I'm going to get the real sort of like oldie historical Tory brigade and then all the sort of young doing like dance moves and stuff and then a bunch of Chinese bots.
Who are just clapping along. Yeah, not really. Understand what I'm saying. Explain a bit about...
I was going to say, how did it come about? Was you approached to do the show or had you applied?
I was approached. I was approached to do the Channel 4 version.
Oh right, okay.
It was originally a Channel 4 version.
Yeah.
That they filmed in England, and then
it was in Manchester, wasn't it?
Well, so a lot of other comedians were clearly approached as well, because I remember they were looking on my socials one day, and all these comedians going, "Oh, the Circle Channel 4 has been discontinued. That's a shame. I was in the running to do it," and I thought, "Oh, so was I," but they haven't told me that. And then I got the phone call going, "Would you like to do the Netflix version?" And I was like, "That is better. Yes, I'd love to do that."
Yeah, a bit more exposure on Netflix.
But then I thought, I was like, "Oh my God, it's the Netflix version. So I'll be going to LA to film it." And then, but it turns out it's actually cheaper for them to keep the original hotel and just fly the Americans over. So yeah, I went to Salford, which is not as good.
Boo.
I mean, yeah, I love Salford, obviously, but.
Someone's got to.
Yeah.
mentioning the Tower of London, but didn't actually explain it. For anyone that doesn't know, explain a bit about your connection to this very historic place.
So so basically, my father is the former chief of defence staff, so the ex-professional head of the entire British Armed Forces. And then when he retired, the Queen said... God rest her soul. Would you like to be the constable of the Tower of London? And he said,
"Job,
yes, I'll do that." And so he moved in. So his and so when he was moving into the Tower of London that same year, I just split up from my old comedy group and gone solo. So I was moving up to London. So I basically had the option of either renting a shoebox in Zone 7.
Yeah, oh, know that feeling.
With about 50 other people, or living in the centre with my dad for free. And I was like, "Grow my hair and call me Rapunzel. I'm moving in there." So I moved in.
How long were you there for?
For 6 years. I tried to move out at one point, but then COVID hit, so I came back with my tail between my legs pretty quickly.
Yeah. I bet it was quite a conversation starter when you was dating, when it did help you pull a few ladies. So do you want to come back to the Tower of London tonight?
Well, do you know what? Can I be honest? I did try it, but most of the time they just don't believe you. Like,
it does sound like a stretch. If a geezer told me on the day he lived in the Tower of London, I think he was on some strong drugs or was a liar.
Yeah, exactly. It's, like, it's quite hard to let people believe it while I'm doing a show, let alone like in the smoking area of a Vodka Revs.
Yeah. But, if that's where you're picking up ladies, maybe that's your first problem, but we'll move.
Yeah, exactly. But I do remember coming back home on the first night I was there, and the beefeater goes, "Why have you got a lady with you, Tom?" And I was like, "Oh, I didn't know if I could." He's like, "Mate, go on, you've got the best chat line in London here. Come on, you got to try it." So, because all the beat, they're all lads.
Yeah. But I went with my nephews, and they were talking about people. The one thing people always ask is when you get a like takeaway, they never believe you when you say your address.
Like, I've got a video that went viral about me trying to order a takeaway.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's on my TikTok. That was like my first viral video. It's just me attempting to order a pizza. Yeah, it's I've had one guy order a pizza. Yeah. We've now got in the Bywood Tower, which is where the beef eaters, their main sort of hub, they've got a list of takeaway services that know that it's real. So they know the deal. So you just have to use them.
Oh, fair. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Do you miss it?
Honestly, I think it was really great while it happened, but I'm really enjoying living in my own place.
I bet.
Like, I think also, I was doing it for 6 years, but I was starting to become a bit of a one-trick pony. People go, "Yeah, we get it, Tom. You live in the Tower of London." I was like, and then all my mates go, "You realise you just live with your dad?" And I was like, "Yeah, that isn't as cool, is it?" And do you know what? I like now, because I live sort of central London, I like being able to get an Uber back late at night and just fall out of it and straight into my front door.
Rather than have to deal with security and stuff.
Oh, I mean, this is a very small violin to play, but it's such a hassle living within a moat. It really is quite, it's fiddly late at night.
Yes, I can imagine. So what's next for you then? You're going on tour?
I am, yeah. So my tour starts tomorrow, literally tomorrow.
Hey, where at?
Reading is the first one.
Well, as your jet lag wears off a bit, violin, you'll sleep well tonight.
You know, I'm going to try to. I'm actually meeting up with my dad for supper at the Army and Navy Club.
Lovely, delightful.
As you do, and then I've got a quick new material night at the Camden Head. Just all the jokes I'm not quite sure of, and then tomorrow we're done. I mean, it's 66 dates. It's a lot.
Jeez, that is a lot.
Well, it was nice, actually. So it was 44, and then since The Circle came out, all the tickets have gone up like that. So we've added some more. I get to say the words that everyone wants to say due to phenomenal demand.
<It's great. laughs> And you mean it. It's really true.
It's what we all want. So
you've got to give the people what they want, Tom.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely, mate. It's gonna last 2 years maximum, and then I'll be back to doing
TikToks about the Tower of London.
yeah, exactly. Just stood on the outside of it like a jaded ex-boyfriend.
I used to live here.
Let me back in.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Stephen. Really appreciate it, and best of luck with the tour. That's going to be immense.
Oh, thank you for having me. If you fancy a night of comedy, let me know. I'll stick your names on the door.
Yeah, do you know? I wouldn't mind it. Yeah. All right, cool.
Do it for sure.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks so much, Tom. Thanks, Stephen.
Take care.
You too, guys.
Bye.
All the best. Bye.
What a lovely man.
Really nice guy. And I think the Camden Head's just down the road from where I am right now. So maybe I'll just pop in on the door when he's going to do it now.
That's me, Stephen.
Yeah, remember me. Spoke to you about half an hour ago. Well, what a nice show.
Really nice show, babes.
Another one in the bag. What you got coming up, Bob? Anything exciting?
What have I got coming up this week? January's a little bit of a quiet month for me, but it's been just training. I've got a couple of meetings, nothing too exciting. I won't bore you with meetings and training and bits and bobs. Nothing too exciting. I'm having a bit of a quiet month, really.
Fair enough.
Oh yeah, I'm just excited to be able to get back into my place.
Yeah, you know I bet. Go and enjoy the boiler.
Go and enjoy some warm water and some heat.
It's the small things.
Absolutely.
I'm seeing a friend on Friday. I was nearly going to go to Dancing on Ice on Sunday night.
Right.
But unfortunately, no longer happening. But maybe one of the other weeks I'll be going. But yeah, so no, a bit of a quiet one for me as well. So, but no complaints. I don't mind that.
One of them months.
Yeah, all fine.
It's cold, it's dark, it's miserable. Stay in the warm.
Stay in the warm. Eat food, yeah, if you can. Stay in the warm if you can afford to put the heating on at the moment. Great show. Until next week, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.